pretty young then. I was about 16, 14, 16, I guess. So I was in campus and I went to the campus. And one time we went to San Antonio, old man Lance was long, he was very careful. Got us in trouble on early morning. He rode out from the Leona, then attended Lee Hart, the government. And that's the time when his irrigation coming in the Thunder Valley. He laid the fences down and made those roads and filled up with gardens. And that old man, we had 100 head of cattle driving to San Antonio in that narrow road. And old man Vance rode ahead with his horse, and that horse's wire cut one time, saddle horse. And he didn't see that the fence lay down. He thought it was open road. And when he rode across the road, the horse hit that wire, and he pulled back that top wire, and he fell back on the road, right in front of the cattle. And that scared the cattle, and they all turned around just like a bunch of clear and stompeded for a mile back. And I was in back of them, I'm set some more for a back, and he was horn just right at us, you know, and we went back to the Leona again before we got stopped, just about a mile and then back.
Okay, where is the Leona Creek?
Where is that?
The Leona, where is that?
That's right on the side of San Antonio there, where just about there where the old highway and new highway splits up, right there.
Close to Lackland, where Lackland?
Yeah.
Air Force Base or that hospital somewhere around?
Yeah, it's still on this side. It's still on the west side of
there. West side of there.
I guess you know when you go into San Antonio where the highway, new highway turns to right now, and the old highway goes down, old highway 90 goes down to the Grand Valley Farm.
Yeah.
That's right there. It's right there somewhere. Right here.
Uh-huh. Someone else told us something about when they were driving cattle in there, they had to go through these Belgian farms in order to get into San Antonio.
We went all through the Mexican settlement and right by the Little Lake, right in. Highway 90 went right by on this side, and we went past that and then went through the Mexican settlement and come in from the west side.
And you had a drive on horse?
Yeah, I had a drive on horse.
Well, how long would that take you from, say, out here?
From here, about 3 days.
3 days?
About, from here, we started out and stayed overnight at Chesterville at the Hansa. Only at Hansa had a pen that we could pen. They're right about where the Sammy's
Miss Hans. You're right. That's the
Hans house there. Hans house. Right on side of the Hans house. And back there, she had a pen held about 50 or so heads, maybe 100 if you got them. And the next pen was the Druckwood.
Yeah.
They had a bigger pen than the Druckwood. We penned at the Druckwood.
But how many head of cattle would you drive into San Antonio at one time?
About 100 kids.
About
100. Most we drove in, and maybe some drove more in, but we drove in 100 kids several times. That was usually two people together, you know, two ranches together.
And where would you go? Where the stockyards are now?
Where the stockyards is now.
Okay, now when did you stop doing that? Taking the cattle in by horseback. How long, in other words, what year about did you do that?
We left here sometime in the morning when we got ready to go, and we drove to the Castro and penned there at the Hansa Pen or the Drucco Pen, and we stayed overnight at the Bates Saloon there by that little place that we could sleep, you know. Had a little feedlot there for horses. So on to the boarding house.
Yeah. Do you know who ran that boarding house?
Yeah, I think I do.
But what was their name?
Was it Miss Palmer?
I don't No, I just heard that there was a little sort of a hotel there or a boarding place. Was that where old man Charles Cease's house, old house is?
Yeah. It was a widow. She was a widow at that time. And I think it was Miss Baldwin.
Well, was it that house that's still standing there, or was it a different house?
Well, whose house is that standing there?
Well, it's a frame house, and
it belongs to the girl.
It belongs to Mr. Cease, but no one lives in it. But it's where he brought up his family. It's right behind that Faith Saloon.
Well, I guess so. That is right on the street.
Do you remember if it was a rock house or a wood or a frame house?
I think that was a frame house. And, the house a little further back, that girl lived there. What's his name? Big girl steady.
Frank Burrell.
You know Miss Ernest Brown?
The reason I'm asking is Henry Castro's house was supposed to be on that block.
What is that?
Henry Castro. The one that founded Castroville. Yeah. His house was supposed to be on that block somewhere in behind that Faith Saloon. And I was just trying to determine if where this boarding house, if that was the house.
I don't know. The boarding house was not too much of a house. And it was long. Kind of sleeping room here and the boarding house right here. Now, I don't remember just how much of it, but that could have been changed a little bit, you know, to make it a boarding house a little bit bigger. Old Castro place, wasn't that right there where Shirley's kinfolk? That's right in the back of it. That's not the old Castro house. Is it?
Well, that block was, but.
The block was, but not the house.
No.
And probably that house where the old boarding house, the room, big room there, that probably was so cut. That's the only house, only place that had room for another house. Right? And the well was right in that same block there, next to the base saloon there. And the girls lived right in back of that. You know, she was a good friend of Amanda, what was her name?
She was a prime
girl. Bertha Burrell. Bertha Burrell, and she's Bertha. Brown.
No? Oh, she married Brown.
Yeah. Ernest Brown. Mm-hmm. Lotus.
Yeah. Well, what I wanted to ask you is like, you took these cattle to San Antonio by horseback. How long, when did you stop doing that and go to a different way of doing it? When when did you start using trucks or the train? You know, when did you quit running the cattle in by horseback?
Oh, when did we quit?
Yeah.
Well, I guess when we shipped quite a few of them. The railroad too from Dunley. We rode it sometimes by cargo lots in Dunley. And I rode with them on the train there. But then after a while, when we quit, that is when the trucks come in. We have some small trucks, you know. Then we start trucking them in. And it seemed like, well, we did truck them all in, and that's when we stopped. And the roads got too much traffic on the road. Automobiles and stuff, we couldn't hardly travel it no more. And that's when we quit. Because we had a stop at the Castro, we had a stop at the Leona, and from the Leona we went in next day, then all the way to Rosenberg Corner. But we had to go through that settlement, the Mexican settlement especially.
Well, the trains were already here by that time. Why did you take them in on foot? Was it cheaper than putting them on the train?
Yeah, it was cheaper. It didn't cost us very much. Just a little beef bill, you know, and we kind of drove them slow. The train cost us a little bit more money.
Uh-huh.
And just what it cost. very much is what, $30 a carload, I guess, that's about all. I'm not positive for that.
But because the traffic on the roads
the
got
traffic,
too
traffic
heavy.
On the road and mostly what stopped. Yeah.
Yeah.
And the convenience, when they lived on and the trucks come in, we could truck them and load them in the trucks.
Uh-huh.
We didn't have no trailers that time, it was all in trucks.
Yeah.
Like
you couldn't take too many in it.
Drawing a new base truck or something like that. You know, we couldn't take too many in it. You know.
What was your biggest size of herd that you ever had at one time in your all of your lands together? How many cattle, say, did you have at one time? The largest amount.
Mine individual, me and my father.
Well, you and your father.
That's about 200 bit.
About 200.
About 200.
And you had them on different pieces of land. Did you have to?
Yeah, we had different. We had some land lease then at that time, but Daddy had 1,500 acres.
Uh-huh. Well, did you have to learn to doctor these calves yourself when they had the?
Yes, we had lots of work with the doctoring calves.
Uh-huh. Well, did you just have to learn this from experience, or did somebody?
Well, like my daddy, you know, we found out what we had to do, what kind of medicine to use, put on the wound, you know,
uh-huh.
And how to handle them, how to treat them, catch them over, and redo them again with some kind of a smear, some kind of ointment.
Uh-huh.
You know, someone who fixed ourselves from, I know I fixed lots of hog lard, old ranch at hog lard, and that stove black. Out of the stove, you know, that sucks
the
out of
soot?
The stove or out of the chimney.
Yeah.
We mix that up with hog lard. And it was about as good as any other ointment.
Okay, what would you use that on if the cattle?
They have worms.
Worms.
The navel, the baby calf.
Uh huh.
Any place else would need to be treated, but that's mostly where we use it on baby calves.
Did you ever have anything happen to your cattle that you couldn't control? I mean, did anything ever happen to your cattle that you couldn't take care of?
Yes, quite a bit. We had quite a bit of that. I don't know what do you call it. We didn't know. We had lots of trouble with that fever tick, you know, that fever tick. Was here that time. We got some of them down with the fever. I guess they got fever. They got too many ticks that they still would get fever,
mm-hmm.
I guess. And
did you ever lose cattle?
Yeah, we lost some down, but I know one winter we lost 20 head.
Ooh, that was quite a bit.
It was a very dry year, you know.
Uh-huh.
It was not from disease, I don't think, except maybe the fever ticks kept pulling down, and then the we had to burn pair and feed them, and they just got thinner and thinner. And calving time, we had quite a bit of difficulty.
Did they always burn pairs as long as you can remember?
As long as I can remember.
And how did you do it in the early days? Did you have pair burners or
no,
what?
We had to make a fire outside with some wood, you know, that laid on top of each other and light it. Half a yard square or something like that. We did
uh-huh.
the fire, and we had extra pitchforks made from iron with just two points where we, so the handle would burn off, put it up to the pitchforks. We used to pile the pair, cut the pair off with the grubbing hole and held them over the fire with a pitchfork, just go right and left. So
that was a little more work, huh? Because you had to bring the pair to the fire then.
Bring it to the fire too.
But then would the cattle come to get it?
Yeah, they'd come and sometimes all push in that fire too. You had to be a little careful. And I know I burned quite a bit today with my young years, you know.
Uh-huh.
And later on, the fire burners come along with gasoline and kerosene. I remember just when that was. That was quite a bit later when I was pretty big.
Yeah. But you only had to do this if you had a dry year.
Yeah, that's the only time, yeah. Uh-huh. We had some severe dry years, and of course there's lots of good years just about like now.
How would you put your cattle on land where you had natural creeks, or would you build your tanks, or how did you plan that in the early days?
Well, for a long time we didn't know nothing about drilling a well, you know, and all this country north of me here, about 10 or 20 miles from here, they didn't have ground to build tanks. It's too much rocks. So we started building tanks and found little places where they had little clay or blackjack gravel or something like that, more dirty, and we built little tanks and they had water for about 6 months. And there was some old original, what we call a pond, original ponds there.
Just natural ponds.
Natural ponds. And they had it for about 6 months or so. And if they went dry, well, you had to move out down to the Queedy Creek or the Wordy Creek or somewhere where there was more water. Mm-hmm. And when it rained, we went and brought them back again. Some of them had to take them out there for 2-3 months. And that's why we ran short on feed then.
Now, when Henry Castro and Louis, who came out and laid out Queedy, that was 1846, we're going way back. The Queedy Lake was quite, they settled there because of that lake. Has it always had water in it as long as you can remember?
Yeah, I think so, as long as I can remember. Queedy always had water. Now, I don't know, the Queedy Creek might have been dry at one time. I don't remember when that was, but there was still springs, you know, or wells that held out. Creek there was entirely dry. Now the Creek water hole, that big water hole there, might have been dry one time. Uh-huh. And that could have been before the dam was built, somewhat long in there. Not after that. I think we always had more water here since the Nina Dam. It would take a long time to it come through, but you know, that time when the Nina Dam was built, some of these wells were very low, and we have just moved up here, and this well here was low, but we had water enough for houses and so on. But it's taken 6 months for this well, after 6 or 8 inch rain, and the dam was filled that time before this well got water here. So the water must come from a long ways, otherwise it would come from this soaked down to the ground, it should have filled up sooner. But this well here and several others, it takes 6 months to really shoot water. And then it comes through just like a river, you know, you can see it wriggling wobble in there, the water's coming through. People joined it, which I didn't know, and I talked to him quite a while, and then he said, the fellow said, you know, this lady here, she's going to tell me this is where that railroad went through. The railroad went through here once and down here to the Mason. She thought she could point it out to us on that map and on the road when we come over. And I didn't pay too much attention to it. I just said, yeah, maybe she could. She told me about it right away, so you pretty close to right. So I said, well, Robin's got the irrigation, you know, and that's a little tank on that side of the tank, and that's right where it crossed the road. And I can use this agent, started to make it easy. And see, then after a while, turned around and come back to the dam. Had to go up there, they couldn't go straight across. So, uh-huh. And then,
okay, we were just talking about the Foose family. Who do you know in the Foose family that did some building of furniture?
Well, I know the old, we call them Uncle Foose, the Castillo. He was a wagoner. He did wagon wheels and such as that.
And what was his name?
I don't know his name right now. I'll maybe get to it later on.
Okay.
And he built us a, he built my daddy a bed, and I got that old bed set out here in the yard, where it's all built out of cypress wood, but it's pretty well broken up. But I always had it in mind to fix it up again. It was all cypress wood.
All cypress wood. Do you know if he built any other kind of pieces of furniture?
Well, I imagine he did, because there's quite a bit of old furniture around here, but we didn't take care of it. But I'm sure he built some more beds besides this one here. There's one I saw left in Castro. Bed, same model as this here. Don't know what I know of. Now that I'm used to this. So.
You saw it, or you knew he built it?
I heard of it. Somebody told me that.
Oh, but they have it.
I don't know.
You don't have it.
I don't know who's got it. But he built it. Bound to build furniture when you build a bed like this, but you bound to build some tables. And I knew my grandpa had a table too, but we didn't take care of it. We got destroyed somehow.
Okay, how was your Uncle Foose related to you?
Yeah, it was he married my grandpa's sister. He was married to my grandpa's sister. And so,
your grandpa Sheely?
No, my grandpa Aping.
Your grandpa Aping's sister, married a Foose.
And then the one in Castleville, what's his name? I don't think I remember his first name right now. And this one here was Chica Foose, the queen here that lived right by us. That is Chica Foose. And I think the other one is Ada Foose, if I'm not mistaken. The other Foose in Castleville, Ada.
Okay, now which one married your aunt?
Well, they both. They were one at Castro married my aunt. Now, in other words, my grandma Ethnia was a Foose. That's the way it was. My grandma Ethnia was a Foose. She was a sister to the Foose at Castro and a sister to the Foose.
Oh, I see.
That's the way it really was.
Uh-huh.
But the Foose here, at Cree, here, Jacob Foose, his wife was an Aipinger, but she was not a sister to my grandpa Aipinger. She was some distant relatives. So they were Aipinger and Foose on both sides, but they were not.
They were not closely related,
not
close on
related.
The Aipinger side.
I thought at one time they were double brother-in-law here, the Foose here, but they were not.
But the Jacob Foose was your grandma's brother.
Mm-hmm. Jacob Foose here at Queen was my grandma's brother.
Okay.
And I think it's Adolf
Foose in Castro. Now he's the one that built the bed, the Adolf Foose?
Yeah, the old Adolf Foose, the old Foose. I think I got the right name. Right.
Uh-huh. Do you know where their family home was in Castro?
Yeah, I knew it once. You know where that lumber yard is? I think it's right across. They run that was his place he built the
right close to the post office. That one.
And I think it's the house is right across on that side of the corner there somewhere. You know where
the Meyer lived there. Yeah, yeah. I think that was that's what I had in my mind is the Foose house.
Sure, because I was there when I was young visiting and all that, but you know.
Yes, I remember that because I lived across the street from there, you know, behind, across from the bank, you know, where Frank Keller lives now. And I remember the Foose's living in that house.
I remember the Foose.
Yeah, and I remember the tin shop he had. And it was up on stilts. I remember it was a high building. He had it up on.
Isn't that what they made the lumber yard out of? That water is a different group.
I really don't know if that lumber yard was built out of that or not.
I didn't get to Castro too much after that, no more. The old uncle sort of gone, you know, for a long time. I didn't get to Castro too
much. Oh, I thought we had this on. Oh, yes, we do have it on. Well, where did you do most of your Like when you needed supplies, did you go to Hondo or where?
Well, the first years we went to Castro, straight across the hills here. Had a road going straight across, and also to the doctor's office over there. Old doctor, Dr. Bain was there, one of the first doctors I ever heard of or knew of, that was Dr. Bain. We went to Castro. Then after a while, most of our business was in Hondo. Most of us, I guess, come to Hondo and most of our business in Hondo.
When did you get your first car?
Car?
Uh-huh.
It was 1960. My daddy got it from
1916. What kind was it?
A Buick Light 6.
A Buick?
A Buick Light 6. Uh-huh.
Did you like to drive that when
you were? Yeah, I liked to drive that. I had a six cylinder car at that time. It was a six cylinder. It had some four cylinders and some six cylinders, but I didn't like to drive that car. We had it about 12 years. That was a long time.
Did people around here have a time getting used to automobiles?
The horses were pretty much scared us. Sometimes we meet each other in the road, but some horses got. It's shy off the automobile. You were one of the first ones that had an automobile.
In the Queen?
Besides Claude Gillum, you had the first one. Had a white car, I don't remember what the car was called, but he was the first man that had a car around. And then he was some of the next ones. And of course, one after another later on started getting cars. That's where I made the very first 25th August celebration.
Where was this?
In that cheaper place. You had a kind of a high court stand, a pretty big room. That's where I had my first meal at 25th August celebration. So I remember right.
Okay, well, what did you do there? Did you go for a dance or something?
Well, I went there with one of my uncles. And I imagine they had a dance later on, but I just remember the meal they had, because they had tripe there, and I had never had no tripe, and I didn't know whether I could eat it or not.
Uh-huh. Okay, how old were you about it when you were talking about this?
I was about 14.
And they were celebrating St. Louis Day?
That's what I, as well as I remember, I think it was...
Okay, at that time, do you know who owned that building that you went to there? It wasn't the Keefers anymore then.
I don't really remember who owned it at that time. I imagine it wasn't the Keefers no more. I don't think it's.
Okay. Was it Burnett?
I think so, yeah. I think it's Burnett's. I think so.
Do you remember anything else about going to Castro on St. Louis Day? What was your impression of what they did?
Well, that's first. Time I remember I was there that I know of, and later on, of course, I got there quite a bit. And they had to, on that day after we married, or maybe even before, but I didn't know, I just didn't think too much about it.
You didn't think too much of it. Okay, well, after you married Amanda and you went to Casco because she was had more ties with Casco. What in the early days, how did they celebrate St. Louis Day? What was your impression as coming from Queegee?
Well,
what did they do?
They had beer and lots of eats too. I know we always brought potato salad and solids over there, and we just had to, I was just thinking that it was real nice to get together and get to see all your family, and lots of times the family went down under a tree out there and got our eats out there on a blanket, and we had outside, not even on the table, we had just outside and on the banks there.
Okay, where was it held at that time? What are you talking about? What place?
Well, as well as I can describe it, it was always on the Caney Park.
It was was called Wernitz Gorge.
Wernitz Gorge at that time.
Well, did every family just bring their own food or what?
Yeah, I think so. I think we brought our own food that time. I don't know
Do you remember what your wife fixed for food?
Yeah, we tried to fix some meat, some roast, and some sausage, and cabbage slaw and such as that.
Uh-huh.
And I know that's about all I remember about it, because those things, you forget some
things.
So sometimes it comes to you, you think back. And
Do you remember what they did for entertainment then after you had your picnic?
No, I don't think so. I don't think we had entertainment except probably the dance. That evening at the place to dance. I know we used to dance upstairs at the Wernitz Garden. What do you call that place again?
It was Wernitz Saloon.
Wernitz, upstairs.
Yeah.
You had the orchestra.
You remember the name of the band that played?
Yeah, that's what I was going to tell you, who that band was. That was an orchestra, whatever the name.
Arts.
Arts, yeah, Arts.
Arts.
And then we had some home players too, such as when the one of them grew played, and we had a band there, a home band that played last time. And later on, we got the orchestra.
Did you ever have any music around Quee? Did anybody ever have any groups that played around here?
Yeah, we had the string band here too, was a E.W. Balson and Arnold Balson and somebody else. I just don't remember who that was that played it. I think it was Willie Brooks, I believe, that played in that little band.
Okay, when would they play?
When did they play?
Yeah, what did they play for? Dances or what?
Well, those surprise parties.
Oh, those surprise parties.
Such as that, surprise party.
When you went to Castroville for St. Louis Day, did they have ball games in the afternoon? Do you remember that?
Well, I think it did. I think we played on the plaza in front of the church.
Oh, really? There?
Yeah, that's where we had.
Well, did you ever play baseball?
Yeah. I played with Queen.
You played with Queen. What was your team called?
I guess we're a greedy baseball team, that's all I know.
You know, was this before you were married? Or after you were married?
Before I was married.
Did you play after you were married?
I did play some after I was married, too.
Was there a lot of competition between the towns and the settlements?
Oh, yeah, we had lots of arguments and lots of competition. Competition and lots of disagreements, too. The home umpires, each team, and the umpire was for the